May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I read the scripture to you from Psalm 33. It says in verse 14, from his dwelling place he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, he who understands all their works. The Lord fashions each of our hearts individually. Every one of us has unique things about us. And he doesn't just fashion our hearts. He isn't just the one who fashions our hearts, but he fashions our hearts for him. God is love. He created us. Jesus expressed the purpose of creation and the purpose of the cross from the cross when he said, I thirst. He fashioned us to love him back, to have a love relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him. And nobody can love him with your heart but you. So your unique expression of love to him is uniquely important to him. Nobody else can love him like you can love him. Again, this is not new for us. We say this every time we have Eucharist, that his first and great commandment is that you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And first and foremost, that's the purpose for which you were created. You weren't first and foremost created so that he might live his life through you. That's the consequence of you being created to love him. That's why we use words like, Lord, things I pray, God, I want to be a lovesick, first and foremost, dwelling place, resting place for your presence to be on full display. That's the word we pray for corporately. It's the word we pray for individually. But again, my heart was fashioned for him. It was fashioned by him. It was fashioned for him. And nobody in this world can love him like I can. It's an interesting thing in the Song of Solomon. It says that his love is better than wine. And again, the word wine means all the things that can bring gladness of heart. Being loved by God is the most important thing, the most exhilarating one of all. But in chapter 4, he says that about you and me. He says, your love is better than wine. That's a remarkable thing to think the God of the universe, the eternal being who always was, says that nothing brings more gladness of heart than your loving him back. And when you think about that, that he fashioned your heart, there is an expression of that that only you can give him. Nobody else can love him like you love him. Nobody in the world can bring more gladness of heart than you can. There's a new, unique way that you satisfy the thirsting heart of God for love that nobody else can do. That's why I think the Song of Solomon chapter 8 is so important when he says that his love, he compares his love like a vehement flame. When Scripture talks about God's love, he's a jealous God. He's an all-consuming fire. And when he says those words, set me like a seal on your heart. That I'm at this place, and I renew this. I was renewing it again this morning. Because it's so easy for us to be tempted by lesser loves and get distracted. And just to be reminded, Lord, set you like a seal. You know what a seal, like my ring. And I get this ring, and I get hot wax, and I put it on a document, particularly ordination papers or other kind, and I'll stamp it. And this is my seal. It's got my name on there. It's got my seal on it. And when we set him like a seal on your heart, we're doing the same thing. You have to melt wax with fire to do this. And so it's like the love of God, this vehement flame, his love. Lord, I set you. The seal on my heart is you. Is you. You're the seal. I've sealed my heart for you. And it's your name. It's your presence I've sealed my heart for love because I was fashioned for you. And if I was fashioned, my heart was fashioned for him, if I was created to love him and be loved by him, I'll never be fully satisfied with life apart from that relationship. But God doesn't want it halfway. He wants us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And so that prayer, again, I was just reminded how significant. Lord, I do set you like a seal in my heart. You are the seal in my heart. My heart is sealed for you. And it's you that's the seal. My heart is marked with you. Now, I was thinking about some of the things we've been looking at in Ephesians chapter 6 and how that's daily walked out. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what? Keep my commandments. And so loving God is not just a feeling, though I don't think God created us with feelings because he's against feelings. Westerners kind of are against feelings. They always preach against experience. We were created to experience God and to know the wonders of that experience. But I love this again. We've looked at this some in the last couple of weeks. This place in Ephesians 6 has become so relevant to me. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, about obedience, he says in verse 5, give obedience with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Don't get hung up with the situation and circumstance, but is your heart surrendered with sincerity to Christ? Not by way of eye service, not faking as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. And I think that's the term that's really rocked my world the last couple of weeks. I think that's what Paul meant when he said, I'm controlled, I'm compelled by the love of Jesus. The word slave here is the word bondservant. Again, volunteer, prisoner of love. He says, I'm a slave of the love of Christ. I'm a slave to my love relationship with him. I've sealed my heart for love. And he says, doing the will of God from the heart with goodwill, render service as to the Lord. And again, the word render service is a bondservant's act. In other words, as we said before, every time I take what he gives, all those things that I don't have control over, and I give what he takes with joy in my heart, it's an act of love. Because he says, do it with fear and trembling and the sincerity of your heart, not just begrudgingly. And then that's what he says here, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he'll receive back from the Lord. It counts. It counts throughout all of eternity. Yeah, I wonder what difference that makes in our lives if we come to the place we say, Lord, here's what I am. Here's my identity. I'm a slave of Christ. And every step of the way, the things that you ask of me or the things you don't ask of me that come into my life, before I respond to anything else, my first response is an act of love. It's to say yes to you with sincerity of heart. To say yes to you with joy in my heart. That works out in all the details. I wanted to get there by 9. There was a traffic accident, and I'm get there at 9:15. Who's in sovereign control of your life? Yes, Lord, to this with joy. It's an act of love. Every situation, every circumstance, every interruption, every change of plan, even the attacks of the enemy, is an opportunity for you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not just the eye service, not just giving into it, not just going, okay, while I'm complaining, but loving him. My heart was fashioned for him. And all those things are the stage on which God creates to provide opportunities for me to ravish his heart. And nobody can do it like I can do it. Nobody can do it like you can do it. And every gripe, every complaint, every murmur, every resistance, every act of anger towards things that are going on, resentment towards other people's behavior that affect me, they may have other layers to it, but I can tell you first and foremost, they're missed opportunities to be the slave of Christ and to love him with a heart fashioned for him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.